Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in. Now sit back and relax while we nerd up the place.
That's the new intro.
That's the new intro.
Yeah, I like it.
I'm glad you didn't go over that with us.
Because then you guys wouldn't have been able to keep a straight face during it. I know you wouldn't.
I liked it.
Okay, apparently the rest of the table did not. All right, so...
No, it's not that I did. I don't know what to say.
Oh, fair enough.
I'm
right,
shocked.
So.
I was going to say, you just made us speechless. We can't do the podcast anymore.
Good night, everybody.
All right, guys. So, you know, the voices you're hearing. We got Stephanie White with us this week.
Hi.
Krista Francis at the end of the table.
Stop.
And fellow host of Podzilla 1985, Shannon Young.
You don't know what to say anymore.
What are you again?
Well, normally he would just say from Podzilla 1985, Shannon Young, but now that doesn't make sense because we're all from Podzilla 1985. Call me Fearless Leader.
Fearless Leader?
And this is Moose and Squirrel.
See, what? Why my squirrel?
Because her name
she's clearly
is Moose. That's her
why
nickname.
Why am I squirrel?
You're squirrely,
did
I don't
you,
know.
Did you ever watch Rocky and Bullwinkle?
Oh,
So I guess this is technically the first time I've been on Podzilla 1985.
That's true. It took this long to get her on there. And I feel now we should have a new show called Moose and Squirrel. Just Stephanie and Krista.
I mean, we've already got so many shows. Eh, whatever. Two a day.
What?
Yeah.
Why pretty soon we'll have a whole network block, literally.
Yeah,
we could. Every day.
Yeah. I know Nate's chomping at the bit to get those reviews on here.
Oh, and I know he's asked me like multiple times to be on this show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's do that.
No, let's not.
No.
Let's not.
No.
Drama makes for the best ratings. It really does.
I mean, that's true, but like this show isn't about drama. This show is about having fun talking about nerdy stuff.
We'll see.
Oh, God. What have you done?
Done anything.
Yet. All right.
I'm nerdy. Look at me. Nerd, nerd, nerd.
I mean, nobody's arguing whether or not you're nerdy.
Yeah, I'm nerdy.
Oh, Shannon, you're so cute.
It's the first time she's ever complimented me. And it wasn't even a real compliment. I'm not even going to look at her.
I was going to say, did you not catch my sarcasm?
No, I'm not looking at you.
Did you ever watch Rocky and Bullwinkle?
All right. Squirrel, calm down. and we'll go ahead and jump in. Batman versus Superman.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the thing. There was a brand new trailer for Batman versus Superman at Comic-Con. If you guys haven't watched it, you certainly should. I know everyone at the table here has because I made them before the show. Except for Shannon. Shannon, of course, had already seen it being a...
nerd.
Yes.
All right, yes, so guys, I am nerd.
So what are our thoughts on Batman versus Superman?
I'll start off.
All right, you go right on ahead.
I thought it looked really good. I love that they have more Bruce Wayne in it. Because one thing I think that the Batman movies lack is a good Bruce Wayne, because I thought Christian Bale did awful as Bruce Wayne, especially in the third movie. He was just terrible. I mean, the movie was 99% Bruce Wayne, and every part he was Bruce Wayne I didn't like. You know, that's just
I mean,
me personally.
You didn't like watching the magical healer man just fix his spine by punching it?
Well, you know, over those countries, I mean, they have that all the time.
You know? That's how you do spinal surgery. Just give it a good punch and it'll work. It's like a car engine. Just give it a good punch and it'll work itself out.
Everything will work.
It's called a spinal adjustment, Jesse. It's
a spinal adjustment.
Clearly.
A spinal tap, if you will.
Spinal tap.
But I liked it. I thought it was great. It's still way too serious. And a lot of people are saying, that's their complaint, is that this movie looks too serious. In comparison to the Avengers, which is all fun and quirky, that the Batman and Superman is way too serious, but I feel like it should be because this is a serious subject. Here you have the godlike Superman who destroyed half a metropolis at the end of Man of Steel, supposedly on trial or at least being held accountable for his actions. That's a serious topic.
Yeah.
Most people other than us would not joke in a situation like that. But we deal with tragedy through comedy. That's what we do. We're entertainers.
Right. That's how we get through life.
Yeah, and it's a Zack Snyder film. Have you ever never seen a Zack Snyder film? That's what they're like. So I liked it. I thought it was great. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, plus, just in general, like whenever I think of Marvel versus DC, I definitely think of, you know, colorful versus more like a dark and serious tone. Like even if you look at their logos, like Marvel has, you know, the big, bright, colorful red M.
Yeah.
DC does the quiet, toned down, simple
I don't know
logo.
If quiet's exactly the...
Well, I'm talking about like in terms of what the logo looks like.
Okay.
It has a serious tone.
It's subtle.
To the logo.
It's a very subtle tone. Yeah.
Like movie wise, though, I guess on the other hand, because I'm going to be the pessimistic one this go around. I know I've said this before. Back on Pentanerd.
Who?
Rest in peace.
The other one.
Shout out to Panda Nerd.
Shout out to Podbean killed us.
It. Yeah, good luck finding it. Podbean's a motherfucker.
Yeah, Podbean killed it. Podbean, motherfucker of the week.
One of my favorite language. Comments comparing like Marvel's, specifically the movies to the DC movies, Marvel doesn't hide the fact they're making a superhero movie. DC, it's like they're making a superhero movie, but they're expecting everybody who buys a ticket to not know it's a superhero movie. Like, they want to, like, yeah, the superheroes are there, but that's not really, it feels different. It doesn't feel exactly like you would imagine a comic book to feel.
I'll agree with that on certain movies. Like, definitely Man of Steel felt like that because they explored very little of the whole Superman aspect in that movie. But, and Batman Begins a little bit. Like, that trilogy was kind of like, you know, you're not expecting to see a super movie until you got to the third movie.
And it was like, yeah, Batman's in it, but we're not going to technically, you know, call him. We don't really want to show him as a superhero. We just kind of want to have him there, and he'll be awesome, and it'll be great.
I feel like they present them more as real people in the DC movies. Because as much as I love the Marvel movies, the superheroes are so over the top and quirky that sometimes it gets on my nerves. Like, it's like when I used to watch The West Wing, and I would think, this is a good show, but man, it's too quirky. Like, there's such a thing as too quirky. Some people aren't quirky. Not every character has to be goddamn quirky. And I remember years ago I read a review for Batman Returns with Roger Ebert, and he said that he loved the movie, but it's a Batman film and it's so serious. He's like, why can't it be fun to be Batman? Why does it have to have such a negative tone? Why is everything so dark? And I thought, the dude's parents were murdered and he fights crime in a city that's overrun with evil. Like, where's the fun in that? Not everything has to be colorful and cute.
Yeah, I feel like Ebert there was really just expecting like Batman 66. Like, he's just never moved on.
Yeah.
Or Batman and Robin.
God. This was before Batman and Robin, Jesse.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what he got, though. Batman and Robin. Like, he was
he hated it too.
Well, that's because it was an awful movie.
Can't win.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's yeah, serious movie. And
yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, and it's a serious subject. Like, you look at anything you've read from Batman ever, with the exception of like the really early stuff. Like, anything from the past 20 years of Batman has been, you know, dark, brooding, moody, because that's the Batman character.
And this particular storyline deserves it.
Yeah.
This is mass death, and here's a god that's come to Earth. What do we do about him? Like, there's not a lot of room there for quirky one-liners, you know?
Yeah, and they made it clear that Batman has been at it for a while, and, you know, Superman is still kind of new. And I really like the angle they're taking it from, where Batman takes a pretty pragmatic approach to it, just, you have this being of immeasurable power that's entirely unstoppable with nothing to rein him in. He needs to be stopped.
They stopped Jesus that way, didn't they? But he was a being of immeasurable power, so.
Oh, no, don't bring that in.
I don't think that's quite what
hold
happened.
On. CJ, back me up on this from over on the couch.
Shout out to CJ on the couch.
Shout out to CJ. Aren't there a lot of comparisons between Superman and Jesus? CJ said those distinctions have been made.
I've never heard that.
Well, that here's a guy, here's someone that came to Earth that was misunderstood, came to help, and everyone kind of shunned him at first. The difference being that they crucified Jesus, and ain't no one putting hammers in Superman's wrist.
Guess they're gonna send Batman, I guess.
Mecha Batman.
Specifically, he is an alien. I mean,
Jesus kind of an alien?
No.
He was born celestial being.
He was the only white dude in
Jerusalem.
Jerusalem.
That's true.
He wasn't.
I saw the pictures.
seen the pictures.
So Superman.
Let's get off the religion conversation. So
that's another show for another time.
This show's been done.
What about the best part of the trailer? I think you'll all agree with me. Is Jeremy Irons as Alfred. I love Jeremy Irons. I'm so happy he's in the movie. That's
and
all.
On the inverse side of that, Jesse Eisenberg is Luther.
What do you think of Jesse Eisenberg as Luther?
I am actually more into characters than actors. Like, when I watch movies, I don't think, oh, it's so-and-so playing this. I'm like, that's his character.
Okay, well, what about the character itself? Like, this is the weirdest Lex Luthor I've ever seen.
Right.
Well, here's the deal. Like, I know very little actually about DC. I know it's great to hear on the podcast we're talking about, you know, Superman versus Batman. Like, everyone I know is definitely more on the Marvel front. So just being somebody who doesn't read those comics, just watching that trailer, I don't know. I just felt like, yeah, it looks cool, but okay, cool. Have a good time, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, it looked almost like they were trying to like shoehorn Luthor into almost a Joker thing, because he acted crazy and nutty.
His line about the red capes are coming, was a good line. Very unlike Lex Luthor from the comics. No,
because Luthor is always just super serious.
Very serious businessman.
It wasn't like the, I guess with the Ultron trailer, the I've got no strings on me line. Like, you know, that Ultron says at the end of it. Like, that was a good, like, zinger at the end of it, because everyone's like, oh, he's a robot, that's awesome.
Right. And yeah, I mean, and that can also make
sense. With personality. He's got his dad's humor.
But yeah, it just doesn't make any sense for Luthor to say that.
Full head of hair too.
Full head of hair. I noticed that.
He'll lose it by the end of the movie,
I think. Though, haven't they shown pictures of him bald?
Yeah, like he loses his hair during the movie. I think he loses it because of Superman, and that's what makes him hate him.
Or it was because, like, I know
Lex Luthor's very shallow.
I guess
in one
so.
Of the stories of the comic books, he gets like the he gets cancer from dealing with the kryptonite all the time.
Yeah,
and that's what causes him to
lose
his
show hair. In the trailer.
Yeah, they he's looking at like the,
also also Wonder Woman in the trailer.
That was the other thing I want to talk about. What do you guys think of the Wonder Woman?
I thought she was way too skinny when I saw her pictures.
She's very tiny.
Yeah, like because Wonder Woman. I mean, nothing against the actress because she may be very good at it. She looked good in the trailer. Like it looked good. But Wonder Woman's an Amazon. This woman is not an Amazon. She's a supermodel.
She's supposed to be like almost as tall as Clark. Which then again, like Superman's pretty tiny for this movie in terms of like
Miss Brandon Ruth.
Oh yeah, he was a great Superman.
But I'll step back. Stephanie, what did you think of Wonder Woman? And also, Krista's on the show.
Hi, Krista. Before I watched the trailer, on the internet went around gifs of her. There's a part where she gets thrown up against a wall, and I saw gifs of that, and I'm like, I know this is really weird and nitpicking, but I don't like how she hit the wall. I felt that it was still kind of. I don't know. She wasn't posed right for it. And I know, like, she didn't actually, like, look like she had been thrown back by force so much as...
Like a concussion blast.
Yeah, but, like, her arms are back, and you can, instead of, like, arms forward, you know, really hitting that wall hard.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That just bothered me, and... She didn't talk at all during the trailer, did she?
No.
Neither did Superman.
No, just Batman, or like, Bruce Wayne and Alfred,
you said
and
it,
a couple other people.
Whenever we just, I guess, started a minute or so ago, like you said, you know, as a Batman movie, and isn't this supposed to be a Superman and a Batman movie?
Yeah,
but I think what
Superman
they're doing...
Superman didn't talk, though.
Well, I think what they're doing with the trailer, and this is just my opinion, I could be wrong, is they're showing the fact that Superman did the stuff at the end of Man of Steel, and that it really does feel like in this movie he's on trial by both humanity and Batman. Like Batman and everybody's passing judgment on him and what he did, they're keeping him quiet almost as like they're saving it. I feel like they're saving it for the film. Like, what did Superman? What does he think of what happened? You know, what is his response to this? And you don't want to give that away in a trailer because you give away the good stuff in the trailer, like they did with Terminator Genesis when they showed that John Connor was the new Terminator.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's so stupid. Why would you do that? So save it. There's something to be said about mystery.
And
you know?
It's kind of like How to Train Your Dragon 2.
Oh my God, I was about to make that reference.
Yeah.
one of the biggest problems that I had.
Spoilers
with it.
For How to Train Your Dragon 2.
Krista, since you haven't been talking a whole lot, why don't you take that away?
Oh, okay. The one thing I hate about trailers is whenever they spoil stuff. And one of the biggest things was How to Train Your Dragon because they spoiled Hiccup's mother. It's obvious that now that's the big lead up point, big climactic, oh my God, that's his mom. But it's the fact that they spoiled that in the trailer. I knew it was coming. I knew what to expect. So whenever I saw the, I guess, masked person that she was, I was like, oh, that's the mother.
Oh, like it's her... the intro of Hiccup's mom that we thought was dead up until the trailer.
Yeah.
she's with all the secret hideout of all those other dragons and can command the, what was it, the Bewilder Beast or whatever it was called?
Well, yeah, I have no idea what it was called.
The big one. The really big one.
Yeah, so yeah. Save it. If you have Superman talking, then you're ruining the, well, what's he here for? Because that's the point of the movie. Why is Superman here? Is he here to protect us? Is he here to destroy us? Batman wonders what he's up to. If you show it in the trailer what he's up to, you just gave away the mystery of the whole film.
You know? Right, and you don't want to do that. Like I think a trailer is best when it just teases at some of the stuff that's in the movie.
Yeah, it makes you want to watch it, but doesn't tell you what happens.
Right, and I think Batman vs. Superman trailer did a really good job because I wasn't, honestly, very excited to see the movie. Until I watched that trailer. And now I do have legitimate interest in it because I think it's going to be really good. I also really like that angle from the Batman versus Superman or just the Superman mythos. Like, what happens if Superman loses it and he decides that he wants to just destroy humanity? And, like, how do you stop that? How do you approach that situation? How do you approach that idea?
Yeah.
And that's what it seems like they're going to do. And I'm okay with it.
Much better than the first trailer.
Yes, the first little, well, it was a teaser, I guess, yeah. In fairness. But
this was much better. I want to say my favorite line from the movie, I joked it was Jeremy Irons, but no, the part where Clark is talking to his quote-unquote mother, and she says, you know, be their hero, be their angel, or be nothing. You owe this world nothing. I love that line. That is the best for Superman. Be their savior, or don't. You don't owe them anything.
So no one asked you to be.
Yeah. What's that?
So poke the bear. Batman already expects you to turn evil, so why not?
Well, I think she's saying is like, you don't have to do any of this. It's like, you have the power, but you don't have to. This is your choice if right. you want to save these people. No yeah, one expects
like,
you to.
She's saying like, you can live your life as Clark Kent.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you can continue to be a news reporter, be happy. You don't have to do anything if you don't want to do it.
That's yeah. true, but...
Whereas Batman feels like he has to.
It also...
Yeah.
You know, he has a responsibility because of what happened to him. Whereas Superman is like, do or die, man. You don't have to do this if you don't want to.
Well, like, whenever I heard that line, because I thought, you know, that line did stick out in the trailer, it didn't feel so much as a neutral response as in a, well, you can be the hero or you can go full evil and just, you know, wreck stuff.
That's not what I took out. So,
well, I think right when they say that line, though, they show him, like, picking up a freaking space shuttle and throwing it. So yeah. You could construe that in a negative way, like, for sure.
You know
yeah.
what? If you want to destroy something, go ahead.
The alternate version of that movie of Superman goes, hey, she's right, and then just starts breaking buildings.
She's actually the villain.
She's Lex Luthor in disguise. But no one knew until Scooby-Doo found out because it's a crossover film.
Ruh-roh.
Ruh-roh, Superman lost it.
All right, zoinks! That's my best Shaggy.
Yeah, and I mean, it would probably have better special effects than, you know, the old Scooby-Doo stuff at least.
Yeah, practical effects would have been much better.
Speaking of practical effects.
Oh, boy.
You like that?
Good segue.
All right, moving on to the Star Wars trailer.
Real.
Yeah, real. I keep saying trailer. I don't mean to say trailer. Yeah, they released the Star Wars
trailer.
Reel.
I grew up in a trailer.
I know. Anyway. Release the reel for...
Broken. Sorry.
Yeah, he did. He just... I had nothing else to say to that. They released a trailer... God damn it.
Wow.
At Comic-Con, there was a reel. Star Wars happened. They showed fun stuff. I made everybody watch the video.
Chewbacca!
But no, they did show off a lot of cool practical effects they're going to do, and they really assured everyone that, guys, we're not going to make this an entire green screen set like the prequels. They went through with, like, they built a Millennium Falcon to run around and on top of and everything else. They built a bunch of the other ships. They used, like, tiny scale models for some of the other stuff. It was actually really, really cool. And, you know, they got a lot of the original cast back. They showed...
Except Billy Dee Williams.
Yeah.
That actually bugs the shit out of me because I really like Lando Calrissian.
I wonder what he's doing. Maybe he died.
No, he's still alive, damn it.
Oh, no, I know Billy Dee Williams.
Lando died, maybe.
Yeah, maybe
okay.
Lando died.
And they just started a new Lando series.
Yeah, the comic book series for Lando.
I thought everybody hated Lando. I thought that was the point.
Now, he's the one black guy in the universe. They can't hate him.
Well, no, Darth Vader's black.
That's...
He's voiced by James Earl Jones.
Voiced by...
It's an It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia joke. Never mind.
Okay.
No, you posted that to my wall, and you said, are you happy now, Shannon? Which, she sneezed. And you said, are you happy? And I was very confused. And then you told me that I had complained about the CG and that I wanted more practical effects. And it's true, full disclosure, Shannon has complained about CG a lot in the past because he's old. And he grew up with old effects, so he likes them. But let me go on record as to say that I have never been bothered by Star Wars CG. I know the prequels looked kind of shoddy sometimes because they were green screens almost the entire time. But with a movie like Star Wars where it's in space, it's all futuristic, it's very fantasy, it's a space opera, it's a fantasy.
Right.
Those effects lended to the feel of it. So I was perfectly fine with that. Whether it's CG or practical effects, a mixture of both would be great, and it looks like that's what they're going for with this film, and I'm super excited.
Definitely, because they showed like the wrecked TIE fighter is a pretty great example of where they used a lot of CG, because they made the little like scale model that they showed, and they were using a lot of that for the filming, and then they adjusted it to make it look like an actual like wrecked TIE fighter. That was kind of neat. It looked really cool.
Like, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
I was going
to
say, they also used a lot of facial recognition software to create a lot of the aliens.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what the like cameras and the little sensor things all around one of the actors' faces.
The mocap dots.
The mocap. Yeah. Yep.
Because, I mean, the original trilogy, the first movie, they used no special CG for any of the aliens.
Right.
Like in the Mos Eisley Cantina, it was all puppets or you know, suits. It wasn't until Return of the Jedi that they started doing the CG stuff, and I didn't like it.
Well, yeah, like 80s, CG's come a real long way in the past 20, 30 years. So. I mean,
it's come a real long way in the past 5 years.
That's true as well.
Like, except for dinosaurs. Like, it started with Jurassic Park, and it's pretty much stayed the same.
Well, like, for a lot of sci-fi movies, like, a lot of them do use a mix between practical and 3D. Like, Pacific Rim, for example. Inside of the robots, like, they have a gigantic actual rig for the inside of them. Versus the robots themselves are obviously CG.
And looked great.
Yeah.
Looked fantastic.
So, like, there's place for both. The problem comes whenever, I guess, producers think they're going to save money by doing it with the computer. And it's like, it's going to take the same amount of time and effort to try to make this with the computer as it is to try to make some of this in actual life.
Practical effects.
Practical effects.
Yeah, I think that's the best point. That's the best argument I've heard for it is when it's done because you want to use CG because it'll look better and you have a vision for it, it usually turns out well. When you do it just to save money because you can either build these models or whatever, or I can just rig it up on, you know, Paint Shop. Does anybody use Paint Shop anymore? Is there such a thing as Paint Shop?
No.
Paint Shop Pro, not anymore. Yeah, that was, I haven't heard about Paint Shop Pro since the 90s.
Shit. Well, old.
Nowadays, like, if you're not using a pirated version of Photoshop, you're probably using GIMP.
I'm using a pirated version of Photoshop. So,
or Paint Tool Sai, I guess, if you want to draw the Animu. But,
yeah. But look at Godzilla. Look at Godzilla as an example of CG versus... I know we're talking about Star Wars, but hey, it's nerdy, Godzilla, right?
Yeah, it still fits the topic. You're fine.
Not even Godzilla from last year, because it was really good. The CG was great on that movie. Godzilla looked fantastic. I'm talking about the 98 version.
Uh-oh.
compare the CG Godzilla from 98 versus the Godzilla suit from those same era of movies, the 2000s and even 85, Godzilla 85, which is where we got Podzilla 85 and Blogzilla 85. The suit was so much better. Even though you knew it was a practical effect and sometimes it looked a little dodgy, it still looked a million times better than this thing you know is not there. You know this Godzilla is not tearing these buildings up, and because the CG was so bad at the time, it was obviously fake.
Right.
Same thing with Star Wars with the new prequel, except I knew it was fake, but I didn't care because of that world. You're taking a giant lizard and putting him in New York, and it looks awful, versus you're taking spaceships and aliens and putting them on Mustafar, and who cares, because I don't know what the fuck Mustafar looks like in real life, so this must be it.
Is that an actual Star Wars planet?
Yeah, that's the planet that Obi-Wan and Anakin fought in 3 in the final battle.
Alrighty.
Yeah. Oh. Well.
Well, there you go.
I learned something.
Did you not know that?
I didn't, honestly. I don't know why. I'd never
King
heard
nerd.
Of Mustafar. Yeah. Shane's got me topped out on Star Wars.
Oh, that was never a fight. Come on.
I mean, I think I got you beat in the NJO series.
What's NJO?
There you go. I win.
What's NJO?
The New Jedi Order. It's the whole book series that they scrapped for the movies.
That is definitely true. But I can tell you what the name of the little monkey on Jabba the Hutt's arm is.
That's true, you can. I've heard
Salacious Crumb. Remember the monkey?
Wasn't he the main character in Fire Emblem Awakening?
Oh, no.
Chrome?
Crumb?
Salacious Crumb.
It's Crumb. Thank you.
Google. I want to use Google Chrome.
Google Chrome.
I'm still sitting at the end game on that game too. I've got one battle to go, and I'm done with it. And he's still sitting there.
Yeah, you need to finish that game.
The dragon's up in the sky, and it's just like,
Hurry, finish that game before the new 2 come out, and you got to collect them all.
I already collected all of them in this one.
Touche.
Well, speaking of new games coming out,
whoa,
Black Ops 3. They had already announced it, obviously, but they did the Collector's Edition announcement this week. I don't know if you guys saw it, but the Black Ops 3 Juggernog Edition. I don't know why, but
if really... that doesn't put you in the Christmas spirit, what will?
That's exactly what I was thinking. Like, if we're going to keep eggnog in it, I don't...
And well, apparently it is just big enough to hold 12 soda cans.
So get you a 12-pack and play Black Ops 3 all night. And then complain about it the next day about how terrible it is, and you're going back to Black Ops 2.
Yeah, because nobody's going back to Advanced Warfare or Ghosts. They're jumping all the way back.
I'll go back to Black Ops 1.
Oh, I would
Nuketown 24/7.
If people would actually play Black Ops 1, I would be on Black Ops 1 for sure. But yeah, they announced Black Ops 3. They announced the Collector's Edition. It looked pretty cool. Came with a season pass, the mini fridge, bunch of coasters, some in-game content, and of course, my personal selling point for any game, any Collector's Edition ever that I'm on the fence about, a steelbook case.
Not just a steelbook case, Jesse. Like you said, it's got an entire steelbook refrigerator. You could put your Nuka-Colas in there from Fallout.
No. Mountain Dew.
Dew Shine.
Ugh.
Stephanie, do you remember what you did to my 360?
No.
When we played Black Ops?
No.
You changed my profile name to Kermit and Nuketown 24/7. It's still that. I never changed it back.
Oh, see, I thought I changed it to the tagline, is he a Muppet of a man?
You did. Or a man of a manly Muppet.
Or manly Muppet.
You did. I've never changed it. I've cherished it for always.
Oh, yay, because I haven't been over since you guys stopped playing Nuketown, so.
They stopped giving us Nuketown.
They stopped. Yeah, I was about to say, it wasn't that we wanted to stop playing. They made us.
So are you just excited about this this edition, or are you excited about the game? Because
I actually am excited about the game.
Man, it's too futuristic at this point.
I really enjoyed Black Ops 2, and there were parts of Advanced Warfare that I really liked. I actually would still kind of like to play that game if I can get a group to playing it.
You remember why we stopped playing that game?
I do.
Should we say it on the air?
Let's not talk about it.
That's private? Okay.
Well, I mean, he would
shout out to Steven.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't listen to the show anyway. But yeah, Steven's rage kind of stopped us from playing that game.
Have you noticed how many people on this show never listen to this show?
I have. I
do
I
we need
really
to
have.
Fix that?
I think I'm the only one that listens to every show just to make sure they sound good.
I mean, I listen to every show that...
that you're on.
Well, no, actually, most of the shows that I'm on, I don't end up listening to just because I was there. Yeah. Unless, like, this will be an example of one that I'll listen to since this is me me doing the recording and editing. Mm-hmm. But, like, I trust you to do the recording and editing.
Oh. Yeah, I do a okay job.
Yeah,
why not?
You do just fine. Yeah. There are a couple of them that I've gone back and listened to. But, like, for example, the Tanner Thursday one I probably won't listen to just because it got real long.
It did. It was an hour plus of complete derailment at the end.
It's
Asa
true.
Apologized so many times for that. And Tanner did, too. He said, I'm never picking the topic again.
Yeah, Asa actually apologized to me as well. Like, he felt really bad.
It's fine. A little derailment never hurt anybody. Yeah. Case in point.
Speaking of derailment, I don't care about Call of Duty.
Ouch!
At all.
Hey, I don't either.
Yeah, this will definitely be... me and Shannon will be enjoying this game, though, on the Xbox One.
Well, we'll see.
Well, have you guys seen the articles that list all the things that Splatoon fixed about shooter games?
I have not.
Would you like to hear about some of those things?
I would, personally.
Okay.
Yeah, shoot, why not?
Also, I just want to point out I have not played Splatoon since...
I don't have a Wii U, so I haven't got to play it either, but I appreciate what it is.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. Me and Shannon tried playing it together one night, and the big problem I had with it, like, it was half and half. Like, sometimes Shannon and I would be on the same team. Sometimes Shannon and I would be playing against each other.
That's one thing they did not fix about shooters, is that Jesse and I couldn't be on a team all the time.
Yeah, they
there
couldn't
was
put us
that,
in a party.
Some people do like, though, that how fast the rotation, I guess, mixes up. I guess since they don't have the thing where you can specifically be on a team with your friends.
Yeah.
If you were just going to get on there and just play, the rotations are really fast, so you can't really get a grudge against,
Any one person.
Mountain Dew fan... I don't know.
Give me Monster.
You know, whoever. XXX
and plus,
over here.
That's good that if they did have it that way, you know there's going to be that one or two or many teams that have been playing all the time and team up every time they get online. So as soon as you get into a lobby, you're playing against an entire squad and you go... Because we've had that in Call of Duty.
We have.
Where we'll log in and see the entire team has the same team name and we're like, fuck.
We've also been on that side of... Actually, like, that was a real problem. We ended up having to change our clan tag because there for a little while when we were running Clan Duck back in Modern Warfare 2, we would have, like, a full loadout, like a team of six people, and we're all in, like, voice chat, and we were very organized and won far more than we lost. The downside was every time somebody got, like, put in a lobby with us, they saw six ducks, and they're like, oh, nope, bye.
That's too many ducks.
Like, no, we are not going to play against an organized team, because that's so much harder to play against.
Yeah.
Too many ducks in a row.
Like, there's also, Splatoon also completely, like, destroyed camping. Like, if the goal of the game is to cover the most ground with ink, you can't camp.
No, and that's actually how I've won a lot of matches, is because there's always one or two guys that are just sitting in one spot shooting people.
Oh, I've watched you done it. I've watched you do it before.
What, camp?
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about in Splatoon.
Oh, okay.
No, in Splatoon, I win a lot because there will be two guys camping because they don't realize that's not the point of the game.
Yes.
And they're killing people left and right, but while they're killing people, everyone else is just circling them making color. Yeah. And then they lose. It's like, good job, buddy. Yeah. You contributed.
They'll regret it when I learn how to quick scope with this thing.
With this paint roll.
Yeah, no, I really did enjoy Splatoon. I also haven't played since that night, Shannon and I tried to, because one of my big things when I play video games, I don't usually like to play games where I have to play alone. For some reason, like, I think it was just my upbringing. My little brother was always there, and we always had to get multiplayer games. So for my entire life, I've played multiplayer.
See, my brothers and I would play together, like Mario Kart and stuff like that, but there also was not a lack of single-player games as well. So I'm used to playing by myself. Like, I'll sit and play Skyrim forever.
Yeah, see, I can't get into Skyrim.
It's because you can sit and play Skyrim forever. Yeah.
Like, I've been enjoying ESO. Like,
have we?
I have. I've played with Tanner a couple of times. Where have you been?
Grand Theft Auto. Bob makes me play. Makes. It's really fun.
Yeah, I know. And, I mean, I would play GTA. Like, I have been wanting to get back into that game. I've just got so many other games that I'm trying to get back into or play.
Yeah, like, Asa wants to play WoW again.
Right.
Well, for him, the first time. So for him, he's going to be running through it with brand new eyes going, wow, look at that guy. And we're just going to be like, yeah, it's a dragon. I've killed him like 30 times. If you want to fight him, go ahead.
We'll back you up,
we'll
I guess.
Back you up.
But yeah, that just in general for me, like, I really like the multiplayer aspect and playing with friends. And it's difficult for me, especially to play online without other people.
Or voice chat.
Or voice chat.
When you do
chat.
Have people. But I see the point of that, too, because you don't want.
They should introduce a dedicated party system. Like, one thing that Xbox 360, like, Xbox has had this for the longest time, and I love them for it, and then PlayStation has now adapted, is an outside-of-game party where, like, you can form a party and chat with people, and you can be playing different games if you want to. Or, like, if you get kicked out of the game and you go back to the dashboard or whatever, you're still in the party and you can still communicate and tell people what's going on.
Yeah, no, that's cool.
And I do like that. And, yeah, Sony's finally adapted it. Nintendo has... They not only do they not have a party chat system, they don't even have in-game chat.
Nintendo has the worst party/chat system of any console. They still don't... Well, for everything they get right, this is one they've definitely gotten wrong.
For Splatoon, though, like, the point of the game is, you see that area over there that's not covered in your ink color? Go cover that in your ink color. You see that other area that's covered in the enemy's ink color? Go cover that in your ink color.
I don't need a little kid telling me how bad I am at the game. Whenever
that's the frustrating part.
All the point is just covering ink.
Yeah, but it would be nice to go, Jesse, watch your back.
Right. Like, say, for example, like, I get rolled over the paint roller, and then I'm running right behind Shannon. It would be really nice to say, hey, Shannon, look out for the guy with the roller, instead of just, like, I die, and then Shannon dies.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's a few problems like that where they need to fix with Splatoon. I want to be on a, you know, a team with my friends, and I want to be able to talk to them while I'm doing it.
That's fair.
Hey, Call of Duty.
Oh, right.
Black Ops 3. You know what I want in Black Ops 3?
What's that?
Pure mode.
Oh, God, I would love it to have
that. I thought
you were
going to say Nuketown.
Well, Steph, that goes without saying.
Nuketown.
I want pure mode. I want pure mode. I'm so tired of – I hate game. I hate – give me pure mode. Motherfuckers,
now for
just give it to
us,
me.
Those of us who don't know, what is pure mode?
Pure mode, all right, so whenever we play Black Ops, like, we used to play Black Ops all the time, but before we played it all the time, we played it on normal mode and didn't like it. We did okay, but when you're in normal mode, it's got kill streaks, it's got, like, C4, stuff like that. Pure mode takes away all of that. No attachments for your guns, no scopes, no C4, no kill streaks. It's just you have a gun, iron sights, a grenade, and a flashbang. That's it. And that was more fun because it was pure. You didn't have to worry about your teammate just died 20 times, so now they've got attack dogs, you know? Because that sucks.
Yeah, because that's one problem that Call of Duty has always had is the steamroll thing, like the snowball.
Like, yeah.
Basically, a lot of times in Call of Duty, you get the snowball effect because if somebody gets, like, you know, 15 kills in a row, they get an AC-130, and now they are just obliterating you from the sky, and their 15 kills quickly turned into 30.
Yeah, and you can't stop it because you're not the one that died.
Right.
Your teammate, who's awful, just died 20 times in a row because it's Louis Benson, which that has happened.
Yeah.
And now they've got helicopters and attack dogs, and I'm hiding in a bush going, I hope they don't see me. I hope they don't see me.
And then the dog inevitably finds you.
Because the dogs are good.
The dogs are really good.
So Pure Mode takes that out. It's just you versus them, regular guns, that's it. And, I mean, and they have not done a Pure Mode since then.
Yeah, they've done like semi-classic modes.
Like in Advanced Warfare. They took out, there's a one without exo movement, which is fine. It's good, but there's still kill streaks and stuff.
Yeah. And everything else. And
same problems.
Perks.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing that Pure Mode takes out. You don't get perks. So you don't get like the knife runners running around. You don't get like the
people you can't hear their footsteps.
Right. Like all the ghost people. Like it takes out a lot of the really annoying stuff. And basically you're just, like Shannon said, you're on a map with a gun and a grenade. Have fun.
Yeah. Everyone says just play hardcore. That's not the same thing. Hardcore is exactly like normal mode, just it's one-shot kill.
Right.
So, not the same.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, Splatoon doesn't have kill streaks either.
Right.
No, which is why I love that about Splatoon. Like, yeah.
There's no reason for it.
No, Splatoon feels, I mean, other than the fact that it's so colorful and cartoony, because that's what it is. That's the style.
Mm-hmm.
It feels a lot like Pure Mode because there's no scopes. There's no attachments.
Like it, yeah.
Like you can get bonuses with the equipment and stuff,
right?
But it's never unfair. It's always balanced,
the,
you know.
The goal's not to kill other people. The goal is just to cover the ground.
Yeah, you get, if people get in your way,
a lot of points for. You can win games with only having like 40% of the map covered because you've gotten more kills than the other team.
See, I thought that. I don't think that's possible.
Yeah, I don't know if that's true or not because at the very end they just show who has the most ink and then the game's over.
Well, they have like a starting amount of points. You get more points for covering or having more ground covered.
That's true.
Yeah. Wait,
it goes by points and not coverage?
Yeah.
Well, like the coverage gives you points as well.
Okay.
So yeah,
so that may not, I never looked into
it's,
that.
It's a mixture. It's not like outright like who has the more ground covered.
Right.
Because you can still get more points for getting a lot of kills.
Gotcha.
And I think I saw the number on that was like. You have to have at least 40% of the map covered in order to win. Like, that's the
bare minimum?
Yeah, that's the worst you can do coverage-wise and still win. And in order to do that, you have to have completely obliterated the other team, and somehow they still covered 60% of the map.
See, like, I feel like that's okay.
Yeah, so I mean, it's unlikely to happen, but you can win with less than the majority covered.
Right.
There's also, like, if I'm not mistaken, they also completely took out the red versus blue color scheme as well. Because, like, they've done studies on, like, Call of Duty and stuff. Because it's obviously, you know, you switch between red and blue team. You are
not in Call of Duty.
Not I thought Call of Duty had a quote red team and a quote blue. Like whenever you were in,
I mean, like for the names and stuff, it'll pop up as red. Yeah.
So like psychologically, you're well. I guess statistically, you're more likely to win if you're on red team. I remember reading like the long list of reasons why.
It's because the color pumps you up.
Yeah, basically.
It makes you you're like, oh shit.
They purposely
I'm red.
They did not put red and blue against each other in Splatoon as well. So anyway, I'm gonna stop talking.
Well,
about
there's
Splatoon
no red
now.
Color at all, right?
Yeah, there's no red, and the blues are different. I think
they didn't want color like of blood.
Yeah, like a giant bloodbath. Splatoon, bloodiest game of all time.
And I feel like that is something that came up, like because I feel like they probably did put red in. Because red and blue are good complementary, and that's like every like matchup you have against each other is like the complementary opposite color wheel colors.
Yellow and purple and blue and orange.
They do.
So Lakers versus the Knicks.
They also do like yellow versus blue. They do the purple versus orange is one that I see a lot. Yeah. And that kind of thing.
Yeah, and I like the teal color and the pink.
Yeah, they do that one too. So basically, you know, really opposite and very distinct color differences. So they don't do like blue versus purple as an example.
That'd be very confusing.
Correct.
Yeah.
And
red versus burnt orange.
And I feel like at one point they had red in there and they regretted it. They're like, oh, this is.
Guys, or white.
We can't do this.
There's no white either.
Have you been on the Miiverse?
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's a completely different reason why there's no white, and it's sad that they had to take that out.
Someone actually made a mod for it
to make
in
it white?
White ink. I'm not joking. I've seen it in
goddamn internet.
Looks just as awful as you imagine.
This is like one of the movies Zach buys.
Oh, no. Good thing he also never listens to these shows.
And, of course, the Miiverse is still just as bad because you still see, like, Senpai,
dirty sex perverts.
See, there's your chat system you want.
Yeah, say, isn't it weird that Nintendo gives us the most perverted fans online and they have the most restrictions?
Well, they give them not just chat. Like, that's not the only
you
thing
can draw pictures.
Exactly.
That was the mistake.
Yeah, in Super Smash Brothers, since they introduced that one. You know what I saw yesterday while I was playing?
Just dick.
A stick person holding a phallic object in his hand.
Now, I've straight up, like, some of these get pretty detailed. There was one of them that I was playing. Like, for real. Like, it was like two giant dicks fighting each other. And I was just like, God damn. Yeah. How did that get through?
But to be fair, the craftsmanship on those dicks are fantastic.
Those screens are very tiny. It's hard to draw on that
right.
screen.
Some people make that shit work.
Right. They really do. Yeah. Is it as bad as Call of Duty with the... remember when they would let people make their own...
I do.
And yeah, boy, it got real bad. It got vulgar.
But, I mean, this is so much worse because basically they don't have to get really creative with the shapes and, like...
They can just draw whatever they want.
They just draw
any
whatever
kid can draw
mind.
A stick figure with a giant dick on it. Yeah.
Yeah. Teehee, look what I drew. This is funny.
Mommy, look.
Just imagine, like, yeah. Nate's mom walking in and seeing that on the screen. Just two giant dicks, like, walking on balls, duking it out. Because that's what that picture was.
No, they'd be on ponies. Let's be really clear. No.
Yeah. It would be two ponies sword fighting, if you know what I mean.
That's so gross.
Two sabers just going at it, you know?
Anyway, Call of Duty. Back to the, I guess, whatever
we're
talking.
Oh,
we're
done talking about Call of Duty.
We're done with Call of Duty?
Well, yeah. I mean,
hey, it's sold out.
We talked about what we wanted. Oh, yeah, that was the other thing. Now, if you wanted this Juggernog edition, too bad. It's gone.
It's gone.
The Way of the Dodo. And the Pip-Boy edition of Fallout 4. Why?
And the Arkham Knight
I think
Batmobile.
Stephanie, you asked this. I think it was you that asked this. Why is this happening so frequently now? Or maybe it was Krista. Or maybe it was Jesse. Or maybe no one said it at all.
But Shannon's just crazy. No, I think it was Stephanie that asked the question. And I think in Call of Duty's defense on this one, we still have a prestige edition from Ghosts sitting up unsold in Gaming Grounds.
At Gaming Grounds 709 Broadway for all your gaming needs.
You need a copy of Call of Duty Ghost Prestige Edition. It's pretty cheap nowadays. You still find those like in store shelves.
Oh yeah, Target has like a whole wall of them.
Yeah. Now, can you imagine how much money Activision lost on those Prestige Editions since
true.
They made extras?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I guess that's why I'm wondering how these are selling out so fast. But I guess the numbers, they made less of them.
So same thing with Amiibos. You know, Nintendo doesn't want to make more Little Max because you see how many Marios are on the shelf. Surely it'll be the same.
Yeah, and that's actually, like, I think I heard somebody quoting a magazine article or something along those lines, where Nintendo just, like, outright said, we have no idea why these are selling as well as they are, and until we figure it out, we're not going to make more.
There was also one for Splatoon. We're like, we don't know why Splatoon is selling so well, so...
We had no idea. We never made these with the intention of selling them, guys.
We did not think you guys would like these near as much as you for some reason do.
Miyamoto is a genius in a lot of things. He does not understand how business works.
In his warp pipe in his office, just
where he's just smoking crack.
No, like E3 just, puppet Miyamoto going out of the warp pipe.
That was fantastic.
It was wonderful.
I love puppet Nintendo.
Oh yeah, the puppet Nintendo's definitely brought out some of the greatest gifts I've ever seen.
It came to the wrong neighborhood.
Haters gonna hate.
The haters gonna hate one is fantastic. The you came to the wrong neighborhood, motherfucker. One is also great.
That was awesome.
That's so good. Now, if only Nintendo could get their online shit figured out.
Well, from what I understand, this is probably another show for another time. But they've more or less said that the Wii U is dead. Then that they're already, since they're working on the NX, that they're going to stop doing Nintendo Wii U stuff, and the NX is going to be the focus soon. So Wii U with its 3-year span.
Hey, don't we? Wasn't there another video game company that did that with their consoles?
It's on the tip of my tongue.
They had a little blue guy that was their mascot.
It was a Mega Man.
Not that one. This blue guy, I think he ran real fast.
He liked chili dogs.
Danky Kang?
Ah, yes. Danky Kang.
And that system went ook.
That system, no, that system did not go ook. That system got ooked. So, yeah, for those of you that are somehow not getting the joke yet, that's how Sega went out of business. They just kept bringing out like new hardware every couple of years, and people finally said, fuck it, I'm not buying any more shit from Sega because I've got to upgrade every year and a half.
Yeah, a couple months after like the Sega Saturn came out, they're like, hey, can I get a Saturn? Well, we're out of that, but I got this Dreamcast now.
Right. And yeah, it's
like, better, probably.
It's one of those things growing up. Like, I was even a Sega fan growing up. I didn't know the Dreamcast, or not the Dreamcast, sorry, the Saturn was a thing until long after the death of Sega. And I went over to a friend's house because, I mean, where I lived when I was a kid, there was two other people in town that played video games. So when I moved to, like, a bigger city and they had just a Sega Saturn sitting around, I was like, to hell is that?
I feel the same because, like, we had, my brothers and I had a PlayStation 1 and a Nintendo 64. Those are the two consoles that we had, one at my mom's house and one at my dad's house. So, but yeah.
Didn't know about the other ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there was also the Atari Jaguar.
Yeah.
Billy, you know about that one. Mm-hmm. All these systems that came out that no one remembers because no one freaking had them. The CDI, what were the other systems?
Magnavox Odyssey.
The 3DO. I mean, all these systems that just died, came and went. The Nokia N-Gage.
But like with Sega, I had a Sega Genesis and I had a Dreamcast. And there were two systems in between them that I didn't know about.
Three, technically.
What was the third
32X, one? 32X, Sega CD, and the Saturn.
I had a
Saturn.
32X.
Oh, okay.
Sega CD and Saturn, never had, didn't know it was a thing. Like,
didn't need to know.
I feel like the Vita is probably going to go that route, too.
Oh, no, yeah. It's a legacy. Oh, yeah. It's a legacy system.
Sony has declared that the Vita is a legacy system.
And that's the way the Wii U's heading at this point.
Yeah, basically right now, the Vita, any marketing at all, is just as a PlayStation 4 accessory. And that's all the Vita is now, which is really sad.
Speaking of old sad news, so yesterday I came into the store, and Krista was working, and there were two guys in here. One of them I sort of knew. He was a customer of mine. So he looks at me and goes, Shannon! And I was like, oh, hey, man, what's up? He's like, yeah, I went to the mall the other day to see you at GameStop, and what happened? And I want to say, motherfucker, I haven't been at GameStop in 6 years. And GameStop hadn't been there in a year. Where have you been? How well do you know me?
It's kind of like the people that did after we remodeled GameStop in the mall. They would come in, like, 2 years after it happened, 3 years after it happened. Oh, wow, you guys really changed up the place. Yeah.
Is there still a McDonald's here?
Oh, my God.
Where's the pet shop?
I think it got to a point
the
where...
The pet shop.
It got to a point where they said, like, wow, you guys really changed up the place. And I was the only motherfucker there that knew what it looked like before. Because every other employee... Like, I mean, they may have been in there before, but every other employee is...
There were new GameStop.
Right.
Yeah. I knew what it looked like before.
Sure. Yeah.
But I was gone whenever it changed. So.
That's true, too.
Mm-hmm. According to GameStop, you didn't.
Yeah, I know.
Stephanie, I think, ended up with, like, what, two employee numbers or three?
No, I ended up with the same one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They just extended vacation.
Yeah, it was extended vacation.
Like, outright hire date. The third time she got rehired.
They did that, yeah.
Yeah, it was weird. But anyway, that gets completely irrelevant. Point is... Yeah, so some people they don't pay attention. They don't know where everything's at.
They don't know Splatoon.
They don't know Splatoon. They don't know Black Ops 3.
They don't know puppets.
They don't know nothing about Juggernog.
They don't know about Batman.
They don't know about Donkey Kong.
They don't know about CG effects.
They don't know about Jesus.
All right, well, I think that's a good place to wrap it up. We're going to do...
Well, it was good being on the show. Sorry. I'll never get another invite. I John Massey'd it.
That's not true. You didn't botch an intro or anything.
Or say the N-word.
Or say the N... Stop it.
I'm not.
anyway, I know a lot of you are probably disappointed because we didn't cover a lot of stuff in Comic-Con. And I'll tell you why. Check us out on Tuesday. Shannon over there and I are going to be doing a Comic-Con special.
Yes, we are.
PZ 1985.
Yes. And it's going to be fantastic. We're going to go over all the big stuff, what we talked about today, the X-Men teaser, and other things that probably happen.
We're going to be talking a lot about like Flash and Daredevil. And
Suicide Squad. Oh, shit. You wanted to talk about Daredevil.
Save it
for the next show.
It's Comic-Con. Yeah. We'll talk about Flash, Daredevil, Arrow. Arrow's getting a new costume. Bunch of other stuff. Check us out on Tuesday.
The Comic-Con special.
The Comic-Con special.
Absolutely.
All right. In the meantime, thanks for tuning in. Have a good night. Everyone, thanks for coming in.
Yay.
Yes.
I appreciate all of you and I love you. Oh, and next week for Nerd Up, it's going to be extra special. Krista Francis will be hosting.
Oh, shit.
Oh, that's right. Oh, shit. Because most of us are out of town.
Right.
Yeah. We won't even do. I'm not even going to be there for the rest of the Battleground wrap-up show.
Let's burn everything to the ground.
Two new hosts next week. Krista Francis on Nerd Up, and then on the Battleground wrap-up show, we're going to have, I think, Zach or John is going to be hosting.
You said it right that time.
Or you. No, you'll be there.
Assuming I'm back from Nebraska.
Oh, God. Well, if you're not back, then there's not going to be a show at all.
Yeah, I think I should be back from Nebraska, like, sometime early afternoon, hopefully. The sooner I can get out of Nebraska, the better. I have no interest in going to Nebraska.
Please tell the panel the name of the place you're going again.
Oh, it's Ogallala, Nebraska.
That's not real.
It's a real place. It's where my stepdad, rest in peace, was born and raised. It's where his parents live, and that's why we're going there. He died earlier this year, and we're doing a tribute thing for his birthday. And, yeah, I've got to go to Ogallala, Nebraska. I love my stepdad with all my heart. I don't like Nebraska.
We're never going to get an endorsement deal from Nebraska. Thanks, Jesse.
Oh, all six people in Nebraska won't endorse us. That's too goddamn bad.
They're too busy having sex with cows.
And eating deep-fried mayonnaise balls.
Good night, folks.
Good night.